Knowledge Game by Andy Hamilton, starring James Grout as the Professor, Jimmy Mulville as Thomas, Robert Duncan as Scumspawn, and Andy Hamilton as Satan.
So every day I would go to the British Museum and I would think and I would write, and eventually I honed and perfected the theory that I expounded in Das Kapital, that through an inevitable dialectical process, capitalism would be overthrown and replaced first by socialism and then ultimately by a classless society.
And there's no doubt it was one of the great theories of history, Marxism.
And did it work?
Sorry?
After my death, did it work as I predicted? Only I did once ask Satan whether Marxism had worked, but he just said, well, it worked for me, and walked away giggling.
Right. Yeah.
So, did my theory prove correct? Or was my entire life's work a complete waste of time?
I do like your beard. Some men really suit a beard, don't they? And you're one of them. But I don't like the ones that are too neatly shaved to follow the jawline. I think that's always looks a bit creepy, don't you?
Yes, I do. Bakunin had one like that.
Oh, did he?
Yes. I always thought it was rather odd, an anarchist having such a well-ordered beard.
Ah, yes, the anarchists. Now tell me about them.
Why do you ask me all these questions?
Well, I'm making the most of a setback. I'm in hell, which is a setback. But also here in hell is virtually the whole of humanity's past. So I've started interviewing key figures to produce the ultimate chronicle of mankind, the definitive history book.
And Satan allows you to amuse yourself in this way?
Well, it's sort of to settle an argument between him and me. He says that human history is a pointless thing to study because man is incapable of learning from his experience.
But of course man learns from his experience.
But obviously.
And through that process of empiricism, he moves inexorably towards a more perfect and humane society. My theory proves that, doesn't it?
It really is a very fine beard. Distinguished, and yet...
My theory was a success, wasn't it?
Well, yes, to an extent. In fact, in 1917, there was a revolution in Russia, and the world had its first socialist government.
Aha, the first stage, as I predicted.
Indeed.
And what happened after that?
I don't like pointy beards, though.
What happened after that?
Oh, look, here comes Satan. That's nice.
All right. Keep the noise down and stay in single file, all right?
Who were all this lot?
Oh, it's a delivery for you. More historical figures for you to interview. Ah. Let's see, I've got Alexander the Great, Cesare Borgia, Saladin, Cortez, Bismarck, and representing the little ladies, Queen Boadicea. Oh, she hates that. Just look at her face.
I'll have you, Satan!
Yeah, stay out of this, babe. It's man talk. She's frothing at the mouth there. Look. I'll just stash them in this pit over here.
You're being very helpful with my project.
Well, I am amused by its futility.
Well, I'm really enjoying it. It's a fascinating opportunity to get first-hand eyewitness accounts and then use them to do a detailed analysis of the past.
Ah, yes, the past. But, objectively speaking, what is the past?
Well, it's...
I'll answer my own questions, if you don't mind, thank you. You see, the past is an illusion. It's here for a moment, as the present, and then it's gone, like a soap bubble. There's nothing to analyse or learn from.
Oh, but that's nonsense. The past lives on in documents, in artefacts, on film.
But who writes the document? Who commissions the artefact? Who points the camera? Humans. Dodgy little flesh-covered creatures who bend and twist and reinterpret and are generally as dependable as David Beckham. No. You cannot point at any one thing and say truthfully and objectively that there, indisputably, is the past.
Oh, yes, you can. You can point at a star. Stars are images from the past that live in our present.
All right. Not counting little sparkly lights in the sky. All right. You have to accept the validity of my argument.
Now what about genes? Genes are fragments of the past that shape us in the present. For instance, human DNA contains genes that originate from when our ancestors were prehistoric squid.
All right. Disregarding sparkly lights and... tiny bits of very old squid. You have to acknowledge the validity of my argument.
What, that the past has no value?
Yes.
That's cobblers, I'm afraid. I mean, the past maps human experience. We learn from it and chart the future. My book will show that.
Yeah, well, I look forward to your disillusionment. I'll I'll drop by some more giants of history later.
Oh, cheers.
Including Emperor Hirohito. He would have been in this batch, but he was still only halfway through his scourging. Japanese people take longer to scourge.
Oh, why is that?
Well, it's their culture to always be polite, you see. So you're never quite sure if they're screaming because they're actually in pain or because that's just what they think you want to hear. Have you got everything you need?
Yes, thanks, yes.
Yeah, have you finished with Karl Marx? If so, I'll return him to the pit of fools.
Well, I haven't quite covered everything that I wanted to. But
no, you still haven't told me.
Told him what?
Whether my Marxist theory proved correct. What happened after the socialist revolution in Russia?
I'd rather not say.
You can't do that to me!
Look, Carl, you have to respect the prof's decision, okay? He's a man of judgment and integrity.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, if he chooses everyone decided socialism was a crap idea and scrapped it, that's because he doesn't want to upset you. All right. Honestly.
Now, look what you've done. He's gone into shock. Carl, are you all right?
They decided it was a crap idea?
Yeah. In fact, they've retitled your book Das Kapital.
I don't understand.
Of course you don't. That was a joke and you're a German. But basically, Carl, baby, your theory is kaput.
So, you're saying socialism's...
Discredited, abolished.
They haven't abolished socialism in China.
Well, they have, really. They just haven't made it official.
So, did organized socialism achieve nothing at all, then?
Well, not unless you count the Trabant. and some very hairy female sprinters, no.
All that work for nothing?
Well, it's your own fault. Carl, I mean, fancy thinking up a system which relies on human beings not exploiting each other. I mean, how is that ever going to work, eh?
I just thought we could achieve a fairer system by learning from our mistakes.
Man can't learn from his mistakes. Somewhere, even as we speak, someone's flogging weapons to Iraq, a ferry is sailing with its doors open, and another series of Vanessas being commissioned.
I know why you're so hostile to the notion that man learns from his experience.
Oh, here we go.
It's because you're so ashamed of your own past.
Look, Prof, I'd love to stay and listen to your views, but I'm worried I might drift into a coma. So, if you'll excuse me. Oh, and you lot, best behaviour for the Professor. Alexander the Great, keep your hands to yourself. And Boadicea, no biting. Scumspawn's ear still hasn't grown back.
You bit Scumspawn's ear off?
He held a door open for me!
The great wussy.
Where is Scumspawn, anyway?
Well, I've sent him off for some therapy.
Therapy?
Yes. Satan says that I've forgotten how to think like a demon, so he suggested I spend some time with you.
And what's in it for me?
He said you'd ask that. He said that for as long as I'm shadowing you, he won't fill your pubic hair with fire ants.
Oh. Or make my toenails grow inwards till they come bursting out of my buttocks?
No.
Or replace my tonsils with chili peppers?
None of that stuff, no.
Well, all right then. I mean, strictly between you and me, I'm not sure this will work, you know?
Why not?
Well, because I'm not the amoral, egocentric creature I once was, you see. Now, the professor's been pursuing my moral education, and I've discovered the deeper, more spiritual side of my personality.
Damn.
Sorry about that. I must say, it's very rewarding becoming a more rounded individual.
Is it?
Oh, yes. For instance, I just finished reading the Bible. Never read it before. The professor gave me this copy he found.
He found a Bible? In hell?
Yeah. A Gideon's Bible. They pop up everywhere, don't they? Have you read the good book?
Oh, no. Satan won't let us. He says it's Israeli propaganda.
No.
Is it a good read, the Bible?
It's okay. To be honest, it tails off a bit after the death of the hero.
Right.
Yeah. You see, he hangs himself from a tree with 30 pieces of silver in his pocket. It's very sad.
So, what you're saying is that I can shadow you, but you can't guarantee to behave with your formal venality.
I'm afraid not, no. But for you, I'll give it my best shot. Just for old time's sake.
Oh, cheers.
Mr. And then under my leadership, my people enjoyed 29 years of idyllic harmony.
Yes. That's not quite what happened, though, is it, Comrade Stalin?
I'm sorry?
Well, what really happened was that you murdered millions of your own people.
Says who?
Says who? Says the facts. I mean, it's there in black and white in the history books.
Not in my history books, it isn't.
Could I possibly just say a word here?
Oh. Carl, I thought I told you to wait over there.
It won't take a moment. Do you recognize me, comrade?
Hmm? Well, your face rings a bit of a bell.
I'm Karl Marx.
Karl Marx, Karl Marx. No, don't tell me...
You totally discredited Marxism! Have you no compunction for the misery you caused? Hmm? Have you any idea how cold it was in that southern museum library? Huh? I froze my ass off for years working on that theory.
All right, Carl, now.
All that time wasted. I could have been dating women, taking nice holidays. I could have learned to play the saxophone.
People always say that.
Well, I could.
Shut your trap, fuzzy face.
All right.
No. Leave him, Carl. It's not worth it.
Oh, Prof, how's the research going?
Well, we've hit some ideological differences.
Oh, yeah. My money's on Karl Marx. Theorists have more suppressed rage in them, you know. Come over here, because they'll be fighting for ages, yeah? Now, Professor, I have got another very interesting selection of historical subjects for you.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, chosen purely at random. I've got Attila the Hun, Caligula, Emperor Bokassa, Pol Pot, Jack the Ripper.
Yes, a bit of a theme seems to be developing, doesn't it?
A theme?
Yeah, I know what you're up to. You're trying to skew my history towards your point of view by bringing me the most evil examples of humanity you can find. Men who contributed nothing whatsoever.
Well, that's not fair. I mean, take Attila there now. He's a dwarf.
Who led his hordes across Europe, massacring millions of innocent people.
Ah, yes. But in so doing, he completely changed the public's perception of what disabled people can achieve. See? And then there's Caligula.
Yeah, a psychopathic tyrant.
But a great after-dinner speaker. He has got some wonderful anecdotes. I'll tell you, he does the voices and everything. He's brilliant.
Just admit it. You're trying to novel my book.
Why would I bother to do that?
Because if I successfully write up man's story as one of progress and hope, then it will just underline the bleak nihilism of your own existence. And that thought terrifies you.
I'm the Prince of Darkness, Prof. The only things that terrify me are the wrath of God and motorcycle couriers. All right, I'm certainly not scared of some silly little book.
No, prove it. Let me choose the interviewees.
All right, who do you want to do next, then?
Thomas Jefferson, assuming he's down here.
Well, of course he's down here. He's a politician. What do you want to interview him about?
Well, I think he could make some interesting contributions to my first chapter. That's going to be about idealism.
Good idea. Start with something funny. Get the reader hooked, yeah.
Like Karl Marx, Jefferson witnessed that extraordinary process where an ideal spawns a new political system.
Are you sure you wouldn't rather talk to Caligula? He got this very funny story about how he disemboweled his sister and ate her baby. That's right, isn't it?
Actually, it was her unborn baby.
Well, there you go. Even funnier.
I want Jefferson.
Oh, you're no fun anymore. Do you know that?
I think the main problem I have, as a demon, is I've never really enjoyed exercising power over others.
Why ever not?
I don't know. I just find that often when you wield power over someone, there's something demeaning about it. Have you never felt that?
Yeah, but I like that feeling. I've always enjoyed power. When I was alive, every morning, I used to assemble my staff, illustrate my power by sacking someone, then sit back and savour the sweet smell of fear wafting out of their trousers.
You sack someone every morning?
Yeah, it's called motivation.
Comes down to personality in the end, doesn't it? You've either got the appetite for power, or what do you attribute yours to?
Well, I've always felt it's got something to do with my extraordinary sex drive.
Oh, right.
You got one of those?
Not as such, no. Demons don't really have a sexuality.
I've seen demons sexually violating mortals in the most obscene ways.
Yeah, but that's just work.
Oh.
We don't derive any pleasure from it.
Shame.
So, how extraordinary was this sex drive?
Well, put it this way. I used to fancy the female characters in cartoons. And I was once arrested for trying to shag a mannequin in the window of Dickens and Jones.
What, a mannequin of a woman?
Oh, yeah, not weird.
Do you think it would be possible to teach me how to enjoy the exercise of power?
Oh, yes, I'm sure I could if it wasn't for the fact that I've become this non-venal, more rounded person, you see. Put all that behind me.
Ah, yes, the new Thomas.
That's right, the new me. Of course, there might just be possibly some vestigial residue of the old me still, you know, vaguely knocking around somewhere deep inside, perhaps, that if we could reach it might prove helpful for purely the purposes of your retraining.
But how would we reach it?
Well, it would probably need stimulating.
Stimulating?
Yes, stimulating.
And the funny thing was, as I started to write out the Declaration of Independence, I ran out of ink halfway through the sentence, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are born equal." I had to send my slave out to get some more.
Oh, how terribly amusing.
Yeah, but once I had penned that clarion call to abjure the rank contagion of heinous absolutism, I knew we had given birth to a dream.
And that dream grew into America, most dynamic, powerful nation on earth.
A shining beacon to the world, no doubt. Oh, I wish I could see it.
Ah, now, I can arrange that.
Where have you brought it?
I know this room. This is the White House.
Mm-hmm, and that man over there is the current president of the United States, William Jefferson Clinton.
Jefferson? Oh, well, I can see from his furrowed brow that he's discussing weighty matters of state.
Obviously, Mr. President, the interview will range widely across major topics, the Middle East, Kosovo, and, of course, on the most sensitive conflict of all, it's very important that once again you get your message across.
I know, and my prime assertion, the foundation of my whole argument is, as always, my contention that I did touch your breasts, but with no intent to arouse.
Well, what's he talking about?
Weighty matters.
That's right, Mr. President. Remember, Mr. President, your position is that basically you were merely masturbating and she just happened to get in the way. It was an unfortunate collision.
Oh, my God, who are these people?
Okay, now what's the other important thing to remember, Mr. President?
Every time I lie, I must try not to blink.
It's a disgrace to the presidency. He has despoiled his office.
Yeah, well, there's still your stain, but I mean...
All right, Mr. President, let's go back to the bullet points.
I did touch her bullet points, but with no intent to arouse.
No, not her bullet points, Mr. President, the bullet points for the interview.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah.
You mark my words. This scoundrel is living on borrowed time. He'll incur the righteous wrath of the American people once they realize he's a no-good liar.
Oh, no, be fair, he's a very good liar. He's had me fooled a couple of times, you know. And I tend to assume the worst in people. Anyway, the people know what he's like, and they don't care.
They don't care?
No. Nobody cares about anything. Oh, hello. All stand for the president.
I appreciate all your help.
It's an honor, Mr. President.
Oh, and by the way, if you're walking past Bloomingdale's, I wonder if you could pop in and do me a favor. Only they got this really cute mannequin in the window.
Hey, dude, how's the definitive history book coming along?
Oh, all right.
Oh, that bad, eh? What are you writing up?
Oh, it's notes from the last interview I did. It's with a Nazi who claimed he was only obeying orders.
Oh, they all said that.
Yes, but this was Hitler. I learned absolutely nothing from him. He didn't address any of the important historical issues. He just kept ranting and raving about the lyrics of Colonel Bogey.
Mm. Well, I did warn you that this little book of yours was as pointless as a papal penis, didn't I? You see, your basic problem is human beings. They lie. They lie to each other. They lie to themselves. And all those lies mean no one can really know the past, not even their own.
Oh, well, that's nonsense. At the very least, we know our own past. We were there.
Ah, yes, but did you have a very good view? Anyway, how did that chapter on idealism pan out? Did you get much good material out of Thomas Jefferson?
Well, not after you took us on that whistle-stop tour of contemporary America. That was particularly cruel. Especially the visit to the Jerry Springer show.
Good episode, though, wasn't it, eh? My sister's a slut, so I sawed off her legs.
Poor Jefferson hasn't spoken a word since.
It is a pretty neat new cruelty I've discovered, though, isn't it, eh? Tormenting the past with the present.
It's bad enough that we have to suffer down here, isn't it, without you dragging us up to the living world for your own twisted, sadistic enjoyment.
Oh, well, excuse me, but that's not what you said when you asked me to step in and stop your widow remarrying.
Oh, well, I had to do something. She didn't know she was marrying a criminal. When he's a jockey who takes bribes. And presumably he is by now behind bars where he belongs. And Deborah will have realised just how despicable a character he is. Well, has she?
Don't ask me.
Well, you could find out what's happened. I mean, you could take me to see if she's...
Oh, no, I wouldn't want to drag you up to the living world just for my own twisted, sadistic enjoyment now.
No, it's all right. I mean, I don't mind. I mean, this is different. Oh, please take me.
Listen, Prof, maybe there are just some things you have to accept that you're not meant to know.
Well, I just want to check everything's turned out okay.
All right. But this will all end in tears, I'm pleased to say.
Are we still in hell?
No, Chingford. The police cell, and curled up in the corner there.
Oh, it's the bent jockey. Yeah. So they've arrested him. Oh, that's brilliant.
And here comes your Deborah.
Visitor for you, O'Donnell. You've got 5 minutes.
Deborah. Oh, Deborah, I've been so stupid. It was my last season racing, and when my sister Rose is ill, seriously ill in a clinic in Ireland, and it is a good clinic, and I knew with the money and all from the race fixing, I knew there'd be no worries about paying for her to stay there, and I know I should have told you, but I just didn't want to get you involved.
Did you know about this ill sister?
Yes.
Well, why didn't you tell me?
You never asked.
So... Anyway, Deborah, I'll understand if you never want to see me again.
Do you know what I do in difficult situations, Rory? I try to imagine what my darling Richard would have advised me to do.
Oh, that's my girl.
And I know that if he was here now, he'd tell me to stick by you.
What?
Because I love you.
I would never tell you to do that.
I just can't abandon you.
Yes, you can. Look, tell her, go on.
What?
I mean, tell her I'm here now and my advice is to give him the elbow.
Well,
I mean, go on. I mean, take some form and get a message to her. I know you could.
Look, I really think that perhaps we should go.
Well, Deborah, I'm speechless. I don't deserve your love.
Shh. Now listen, when my Richard died, I thought I'd never love anyone again because he was a wonderful man.
Oh, bless her.
He had a marvellous life. And I loved him very much, loved him deeply.
Oh, I know, Deborah.
Even though he never really excited me.
What?
I didn't have, you know, the passion for him that I have for you.
I really think that we should go back now.
No, I want to hear the rest.
But I can't explain it. It's just we're capable of loving different people in different ways. Different colours. Different intensities.
Oh, Deborah.
Oh, no. They've got that bovine look in their eyes that means they're about to kiss. And you don't want to see that, really, do you, Prof? Prof, are you okay?
Yes. Yeah.
And why is your lip wobbling? Come on. Ah, here we are. Back where we belong, eh? What?
You think you know someone, don't you? You think you've shared experiences, but you didn't. You just happened to be there at the same time.
Listen, Prof, in a nutshell, you're dead, she's not. Okay? So she's moved on to Pastors New. I mean, come on. Only swans mate for life. That's why they're so bad-tempered. What? Oh, no. Scumspawn!
At your beck and call, my prince.
Scumspawn, what is Thomas doing over there?
He's helping with my therapy. This is still stage one. We're trying to reawaken the dark, obscene side of Thomas's personality.
Oh, I see, of course. So that explains why he's stark bollock naked.
Ravishing those nuns, yes.
Yeah. I can't leave you for a moment, can I? No sooner my back is turned than you let Thomas pleasure himself.
No, he's not getting any pleasure from it yet. No, he's become a fully rounded personality, you see. So he's been ravishing women in the vain hope that he'll rediscover the old enjoyment.
That's what he told you?
Yes.
And you believed him?
Yes.
And how many women have you provided for him so far?
212.
Thomas! Ah, now, this isn't as bad as it looks.
Yeah, I must say, actually, I appreciate your already being in the nude, Thomas. It gives me easier access.
Nah, listen. You can't punish me. I was trying to help Scumspawn.
Thomas, this is me you're talking to. You tricked Scumspawn.
Well, it's not my fault. I'm damaged. Yes, that's it. The prof will tell you. I've been shaped by my experience. I've got all these genes in me, and they're fragments of the past.
Don't talk to me about the past. Past shapes bugger all. We don't know what it is, so we can't learn from it. Correction, we can learn from it, but the only thing we can learn is that it's built around a pack of lies. Satan's right. Even a total dullard like me can see that past experience is a meaningless ragbag of worthless self-delusion. But now, if you'll excuse me, I've got a book to burn.
Well, my liege, looks like you won that argument.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Can I just take this opportunity to apologise if I've overstepped the mark with the nuns and everything?
No, it's all right, Thomas. I understand why you behave like that.
So you're not going to punish me, then?
No, I said I understand, which is why your testicles just turned into baby crocodiles.
Well, my prince, I think you finally crushed the professor's spirit.
Do you? Nah, he'll go away and he'll think about this bit of adversity and he'll find some revoltingly humanistic crumb of comfort and he'll come bouncing back all upbeat and positive and it is so depressing. I just know that's what will happen.
How do you know?
Well, from past experience.
Paris Game featured Andy Hamilton as Satan, James Grout as the Professor, Jimmy Mulville as Thomas, and Robert Duncan as Scumspawn, with Felicity Montague, Philip Pope, Nick Revel, and Michael Fenton Stevens. The program was written by Andy Hamilton and produced by Paul Mayhew Archer.